Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. I have to tell you, I love coffee. I love the smell of it. I love the taste of it. I really just love everything about it. I love the social aspects. And secretly, I am really hoping one day to get my own espresso maker for my office, but that's neither here nor there. And from a health standpoint, it's been demonstrated to be pretty good for you. There's some great research on the benefits of all types of coffee, whether ground, instant, or decaffeinated. They're associated, just consuming these types of coffee are associated with a reduction in the incidence of cardiovascular disease. 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day of all these different types are associated with reductions in coronary heart disease, congestive cardiac failure. And there's even a U-shaped relationship that exists between caffeinated coffee intake and incidence of arrhythmia, with the largest risk reduction being present around 4 to 5 cups a day. I mean, that is so crazy. Personally, I like to drink drip coffee, and when I'm on the road, I like espresso. Like I said, I'd love to become kind of like this espresso aficionado. My favorite type of coffee is Purity coffee. I'll actually put a link in the show notes for a discount they gave me to share with people. But today I am here with sports scientist Peter Tierney to discuss the benefits of caffeine and how you can use it to improve your exercise performance. So let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Let's talk about caffeine and performance. Now, there are cognitive benefits for sure for using caffeine. The literature is pretty clear about benefits for physical output, but how much is too much? And if you use it too frequently, do the benefits decline? You know, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, caffeine is very well researched and does have some very strong benefits to it. The challenge always with caffeine in athletes and general population is the potential negative consequences it can have. On the flip side of that is like on the recovery piece. And so we know that caffeine has a negative impact on sleep. So obviously there are individual nuances that people can break down caffeine slightly faster than others, but that's here nor there. Anyway, ingesting caffeine too late in the day will have a negative effect on your sleep. And there's always a paper referencing this because there's often people who are saying like, no, I can have a coffee and I fall asleep, no problem. Or like I can do a double espresso right before bed after dinner and it doesn't affect my sleep. But the paper that I always reference in the study was these researchers actually examined that exact thing. So they found that late caffeine intake from a perceptual perspective, and this goes back to our conversation around like the mismatch of perception and data, where people say, no, didn't have a negative impact on my sleep, but actually objectively, there was a shift in sleep patterns. So that's, I think, one point. And sorry, I'll loop back to the caffeine point. The decision then becomes, do I take caffeine or do I ingest caffeine for competition if it's having a negative impact on my recovery and my sleep? And I think as an athlete, or whether that's general population or elite, that's the question you've got to ask yourself all the time. Mm. In terms of like dosing, the other point you've asked around, like, is, you know, is it too much or can you have too much? I think, yes, you can, you know, the jitters, I think we probably all felt if you had a couple of coffees in a row, and that's happened to me where I've just had one and someone's bought me one. You don't want to be rude and say like, no, I've had my tolerance for the day. You sort of take it, go, thank you, you're grateful. And then next thing you're sort of shaking. But there does seem to be, again, depending on habitual intake as well and a few other factors, like, but relative to body mass, I guess, is probably like the way to go. And this, that can be through coffee. That can be through like caffeinated drinks or gels, or it can be through like chewing gum as well. So that's a really interesting one that actually I studied way back in my undergrad, which was actually cool. We got that paper published a couple of years ago.
And what was that?
So we looked at the effect of caffeinated chewing gum on repeated sprint ability. I mean, a lot of the research now has come out that like caffeine has like a multitude of benefits across like the exercise spectrum, but predominantly or previously it was always geared more towards like endurance or like sort of steady state. But we looked more at the repeated sprint ability and the effect on that. So yeah, we found it did improve, or it attenuated, slowed down the delay in repeated sprint ability in team sport athletes.
I mean, caffeine is the most commonly consumed psychoactive drug in the world. I mean, that's what it is. So it would only make sense that when you're sprinting, it's CNS driven to an extent. Repeat sprint abilities, we don't want to need to go down that rabbit hole, but maximal output, aerobic power, or aerobic capacity is important. you know, it's interesting is like, it's kind of finding that threshold of how much gets you the edge to train and then how much like puts you over the edge and makes you feel terrible. Also, I think people need to think about from a recreational perspective, you don't want to rely on caffeine to have the motivation to exercise. I don't think you want caffeine to mask other things that are going on to get you through a session. And then also like the timing of the day really matters. So like I don't use pre-workout, like coffee is kind of my thing, but like, I don't think to your point, people should be taking scoops of pre-workout at 4 or 5 o'clock at night because the half-life is almost 6 hours. So it's like midnight and they still got half the dose of caffeine coursing through their veins. And so it's a, you got to really consider it. I used to do jujitsu quite competitively. And in tournament situation, we had contingencies in place. So like, or really a plan, like if I got past the second or third round and we got to right, like, okay, I got 45 minutes for the championship, I would take a gel. It takes about an hour or whatever, but like we would use it systematically. When I would work with athletes that were doing multiple heats and sprint events, if they got to the finals, we would use, you know, in that warm up to have something right for the final event. So, you know, it'd make them more alert, especially to the gun going off, et cetera. But I think caffeine, when used correctly, if you're not overly sensitive to it, can really be beneficial.
Definitely. But the, yeah, like the point you made, I thought was excellent. Like if the caffeine you're taking in the morning is masking your 4 hours of sleep, there are other issues that you need to address before thinking about, oh, should I have 2 cups or 3 cups today? You know, that's like, I use a phrase from one of my former colleagues, like that's rearranging deck chairs on a cruise ship. Like that's not actually addressing the key problem. It's not changing the direction of where you're going. So I like that one for a multitude of different situations. So like I say, I steal that one. But the caffeine is interesting because it does have performance benefits like we've spoken for. That can be aerobic, that can be repeated sprint ability. But it also, like you said at the start, it does have some potential like health benefits as well. And, you know, there's some, there is some research suggesting that, you know, a moderate intake of caffeine can have, or coffee in particular, can have reduced mortality risk and reduced cardiovascular risk as well. So cardiovascular event risk. So like I said, that's definitely not to say coffee's going to prevent all these things, because obviously there are other co-founding factors, things to be fit, healthy, all the other parts. But it doesn't seem that there's negatives up to a certain dose as well. So it seems to be for, rather, somewhere between like, you know, 2-3 coffees a day, maybe up to 4 if you're active in, and that type of thing. Doesn't seem to have any serious negative consequences. Like I said, everyone can be a little bit individual, but certainly the timing, like you said, is probably the crucial thing that, you know, if you're going to exercise in the evening, like I certainly wouldn't be recommending, unless you're competing at an event and you're thinking, this is my main goal. Like I can recover after this for 2 weeks. I'm not trying to adapt here. I'm trying to perform. And that's, I think, the way up of how much you take and when. But there's a point here, and the caffeine is not linked to caffeine, it's linked to coffee. There does seem to be some health benefits to coffee itself as opposed to like true caffeine. So for most people, I would say coffee ingestion is probably the primary source. Like you said, I don't take pre-workout. I don't think I've ever taken a caffeine. Like I've tried some chewing gums because I researched it, but that would be the sort of primary source. And it is linked probably to, I'm assuming, your principles, like, you know, a food first approach. That's the same with a caffeine, I would say coffee first approach. And even decaf can have some potential benefits as well.
Yeah, and I know the paper you're talking about, and it made a big, people were really excited when it came out because they're like, yes, coffee of any type is good. And I love Purity coffee. That's the coffee that I drink, and it's great. That's kind of my go-to. Well, I saw like they did something online or something, they liked a post I did on coffee, and then they started sending it to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff is so good. Yeah. It's like organic and no chemicals and stuff. But Peter, I really appreciate you spending some time with me today. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, thanks. I really enjoyed the chat. Like we could probably talk for hours if our days and schedule actually allowed. But yeah, I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn and on Twitter. So, you know, I try posts, and like I said to you before, even we started recording, like I selfishly personally get a lot from that because I have a very engaging network. You know, people challenge me, people ask questions, and I learn, and it checks me sometimes. I go, how did I forget that? You know, so yeah, those platforms are what I'm using at the moment. And yeah, I'd love to connect with anyone and hopefully learn something from more people as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Good to chat.
Thanks again for listening to the Blueprint Podcast. If you enjoyed this three-part series with Peter, go follow him on social media and take a picture of this episode or one of the episodes that you like the most. Share it on social media, tag us both, and if there's questions you want to ask, put it out there. We'd love to answer them. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.